today on Real Life Radio.
You want to get ready to meet Jesus? You want to get ready for the big day, church family? This is how we do it. That one verse, if all of us as believers, just in this service alone, there's enough people in this first service today that if we memorize this verse and begin to commit it to practice, it will so liberate you and so ignite you that you will go about affecting people's lives. There's no way that you cannot have that happen.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, keeping our eyes off of ourselves and on what would please the Lord and bring Him glory takes a special kind of determination and focus. That's why starting the day with devotions is a great way towards a meaningful and lasting relationship with Christ. But with tight schedules and hectic lifestyles, we don't always want to waste precious time searching for inspiring devotional material. So Pastor Jack has written and provided them for us. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one every week, along with quick and easy access to previous devotions, with titles such as The Eternal Love of the Lord, Our Awesome God, and Blessings in Abundance. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you type in your email address. Again, it's available on our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You can also have access to Pastor Jack's devotions when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with a message titled Getting Ready for the Big Day. Now, this series is a study in what the Bible says about heaven, about the future, and why that matters in our lives today. You see, our future really matters, and God promised that whatever He calls us to do, He will equip us for that task. But how do we get ready for the big day? Today, Pastor Jack teaches us that the Lord has already given us instructions for these times and seasons, to be mindful in our conduct, to keep His commandments, and to pursue peace with others. Now, with his message called Getting Ready for the Big Day, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We're looking at future events a little bit differently than perhaps most future events are approached, because we have been and we shall look into things that are of current event nature. But like our last time together, like this morning, we will also make it extremely practical. Those two things must never be separated. The fact that Christ is coming and that we are to be looking into the future and then look around in the days and the age in which we live, and while at the same time, we need to know how to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. We are going to be meeting Him, as I mentioned last time together. And so today we're going to be looking at a message in our future series titled Getting Ready for the Big Day. Getting ready for the big day. That conjures up pictures in all of our minds about what that might mean. But of course, in this context, getting ready to meet Jesus. Before we do that, I want to set it up this way. It's interesting today because it's crystal clear outside. It's predominantly, I think, outside of 20 days a year. Right? 20 days a year, I think, in Southern California, we have cloud cover or rain, something like that. Well, it's not one of those days. It is a brutal winter day here, going up to 77 degrees. And yet, I would say to you that if I were speaking to you as a parent, I would want to make sure that before you go out to enjoy your day, I would bundle you up. I would wrap you up in what is needed for the day, for your protection, for your comfort, and for your safety. And in some parts of our nation today, people are putting on thick parkas or snowshoes. Others are putting on flip-flops and board shorts. But they are dressed for the atmosphere. They are dressed for the occasion, if I can put it to you that way. And God is getting us ready. He's dressing us for heaven. And in the process of everything that He puts upon you and I by way of our Christian apparel, it is to develop our walk with God. And so getting ready for the big day, I want to give you a couple of verses, maybe three, to get you introduced to where we're going. I want you to listen carefully. How you view this is all important. The Lord gives his instruction regarding the seasons of our lives as believers. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, for example, the Bible there tells us, pursue peace with all people. That means we're to strive to be at peace with all people. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. The word holiness means determining that you seek peace with everybody in your life. That's without compromise. And that you pursue holiness, meaning that you see to it, every one of us, see to it that our lives are set apart to what God wants to do. That's what that word holiness means, to be set apart. It doesn't mean to be sinless, perfect, impossible. It means to be dedicated to God. And that's why the Bible says without that, it's impossible to see the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 tells us, and he who called you is holy, and you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Holiness. Again, we hear that and we think about being holy as being perfect, but it's not true. Holy meaning that you and I are determining to be solely devoted to God, that we are surrendering our lives and yielding to him as a believer. And then John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What does that mean? His commandments, if you read them, is to love God and to love one another. And here's the great thing about these things that I've just read a moment ago is the fact that whatever God invites you and I to do, he doesn't expect us to accomplish those things in the efforts of our flesh, in the efforts of our trying. He expects us to surrender to him and to let him establish these things in our lives. And all of God's people said, yes. That is a liberating power. I've often said, don't do Christianity. Don't do it. You'll get hurt. Let Christianity be done to you. The Holy Spirit will take the Word of God. Today, we've gathered for Bible study. And after you leave this building today, the Holy Spirit will take the Word that you've learned, and then he will put it into your life, and he's the one that will put it into practice. He will speak to you. He will invite you. He will prod you to do what you've heard. You'll hear this message and portions of it during this week that you're going to be living. Isn't that fun? He's going to do that. You are to just be open and to be willing and to be set apart to do what the Lord would have you to do. And so we're going to see a similar situation where Paul the Apostle is bundling up those who he had come to minister to. And it's a quite emotional portion of scripture we'll read, quite sweet and tender. And as he bundles them up, he's going to commend them into the hands of the Lord. So church, let's all stand if you would and turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And it is a fact that he's speaking, no doubt, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says goodbye to the Ephesian elders from that coastline, from that dock, from that harbor. And he makes that announcement to them, I will not see you, you will not see me any longer. That is technically any longer in this world. We will not see one another. And he's saying goodbye to them. You read a moment ago that he made it his life's aim to make sure that they were schooled and grounded in the teaching of the doctrine of God's word. And Paul said to them, I made it sure and certain to you that I didn't shun or withhold or somehow play games with the scriptures, but gave to you the whole counsel of God. Do you know what that means? He gave them the whole counsel, meaning the happy parts and the convicting parts. He gave them full Bible studies when he taught them the Word of God. I think it's Charles Spurgeon who said, we need to get away from the days in which we live in. And by the way, he said this in the 1860s, where pastors go into the pulpits and give sermonettes for Christianettes. Little 15, 20 minute words of encouragement that never prepared them for what was to come in life. In the preceding years of the pandemic, churches had become accustomed to boasting, even some of them putting into print as they advertised. And I'm not kidding when I tell you, many churches across America advertised things like this, and I read them. Come to our gathering. You'll be in and out in under 60 minutes. It's not even like going to church. And I was so offended by that. I was so appalled by that. And I wondered what heaven thought about that. And I wonder what Jesus thinks about that. But when you just begin to teach the people and instruct them on pablum, on cardboard, so to speak, that when life comes, they'll have no firm foundation to stand upon when life hits them. And Paul was a minister's minister. It's awesome. And his desire was to encourage God's people in the fellowship, always giving them life, no doubt about it. And so one more verse, I'm going to read it to you. It's really what we're going to draw from today. It's really what Paul is saying. And it's this. In fact, it's one of the most popular Christian verses. Now, when I say Christian verses, of course, there's a lot of Bible verses in the Bible that are favorites. But when I say Christian verses, this verse that I'm about to read is one of the most popular verses of a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's on T-shirts. It's on stationery. It's on statements. It's not John 3:16. That's a great verse for evangelism. But it's Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul said to the church at Galatia, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You want to get ready to meet Jesus? You want to get ready for the big day, church family? This is how we do it. That one verse, if all of us as believers, just in this service alone, there's enough people in this first service today that if we memorize this verse and begin to commit it to practice, it will so liberate you and so ignite you that you will go about affecting people's lives. There's no way that you cannot have that happen. It's very, very intoxicating. I mean that in a holy way. When God possesses you with the meaning of Galatians 2:20. You say, Jack, I would have loved to have been in that group of elders that Paul was speaking to there in Miletus when the Ephesian church leaders came together before he said fair. I would have loved to. We've all said and thought things like that. I would have loved to have been with the disciples as they were standing there when Jesus began to ascend up into the heavens. Remember that? We'd all love to have been there. Those are glorious moments. But the truth of the matter is, in your mind, church, in your note-taking, it's like we're rolling up the sleeves, right? We're getting comfortable, whatever that means. And we're going to dive into Galatians 2:20, because until we experience that big day, we need to get ready for that big day. And this is how we do it. Galatians 2:20. I'm going to confess right up front, this message is for the believer. If you're not a Christian today, this is my desire, this is my hope, is that you would wind up being so jealous of what we have that you would say, what must I do to be saved also? Amen. Okay? Because we're getting ready for the big day. Yeah. And I hope you decide to do the same thing as well.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So the first thing is this, jot it down if you would. Number one is getting ready for the big day. It would be this. Put on this truth. We're going to preface everything today with this. Put on this truth. Mark it. It's time I die. Welcome to church. It's time that you die. See, what do you mean by that? Death, dying. That word, those words generate all kinds of emotion in us, and so it should. A sweet family just coming in here the service this morning out in front as I was greeting the people coming in. This couple said that they've come from a church. They're here today, but their pastor died earlier this week. Well, listen, I didn't know the gentleman, but let's make this statement. The man may have died in the flesh. His body may have stopped beating heart, okay, but he entered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so awesome that if he had a chance to come back today, he wouldn't do it. Do you understand that? This is an absolute fact. We get so comfortable in this world, and you got to thank God for what's going on in our world around us. It's getting more and more uncomfortable for us to be comfortable in this world. Have you noticed that? And I'm a great fan of this. Listen, do we want to have a recliner? Do we want to have a footstool? Do we want to have an umbrella? Yes, but can you really live like that? Come on, you can't live like that. And none of us that are touched by the Holy Spirit would be content to be on a perpetual vacation while people are dying and going to hell, or the world is suffering, or the people in our community are hurting. No, so what's the answer to all of this? Paul the Apostle instructs us right here, right now, that put on this truth, Christian. It's time we die. And this is what it means. When he says in verse 20 at the front end of it, I have been crucified with Christ, I want you to consider this right now. Get out your highlighter because you're going to need it today. When it says here, I have been, three words that shock. I often say this, people I think don't like it. I'm going to keep saying it until I go to heaven. That you can pursue all other faith movements or religions in the world, and none of them offer, again, I say this every week, none of them offer what I'm about to tell you right now. When Paul the Apostle says, I have been, it's all past tense, it's done. You cannot get it any more done than what he's about to say. He is saying to us today, what I'm going to teach you right now, Paul would say, it's already happened. It's history. Know this. It means today, while you and I are alive, we understand something right now, that it's time for you and I to die. But what do we mean by that? Oh, it's good news. I have been, those three words, the declaration means, and there's no greater declaration in faith, is the Christian proclamation. I have been. That's our declaration. That's the proclamation of the believer. I have been, fill in the blank, changed. I have been transformed. I have been forgiven. I have been set free. I have been liberated. I have been made alive. The Bible says over and over again, I have been. Christian, get ready for the big day. Understand something. No matter how you feel or what you think, if you're following Christ, if you can confess today that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, you can say, I have been. And I love that. Not a has been. Oh, he's nothing but a has been. No, you have been. Number one, note this, that the statement means positionally. You need to know this, please, that this is a positional declaration of the believer. Whatever's going on in life, know this right now, church, be reminded, you have been. Declaration of position. I have been crucified. Paul willingly declares here that the life of the believer is a crucified life. You say, Jack, how in the world can this be good news? Because listen, to the world, crucifixion was a brutal, barbaric death. Yes, absolutely. And you got to remember, Paul spoke this truth in the first century when it was a living reality. We don't have crucifixions today. Paul lived today in the 21st century, he would say, I have been electrocuted. Paul would say, I have been to the electric chair. It had that stigma. I have been crucified. That would have raised the hair and the eyes of a first century believer. But Paul says it clearly. By the way, remember this, that nobody walked away from a crucifixion. Just like nobody walks away from the electric chair. It's final. It's complete. It's all effective. There's a reason why I'm saying this. The word crucified right here in the Greek language, Galatians 2:20, is amazing. It means to nail. Listen, and not only to nail, here's the punch. Not only to nail, but the word means to nail together. Look, you can get nailed and get a nail through your hand. Oh, I remember jumping out of a tree, landing in a pile of leaves, and there's a board with a nail in it. And it went right through. It was so sharp and so rusty, hello, that it went right through my tennis shoe that I didn't even realize. I didn't feel a thing until I felt my foot was really warm. And when I went to pick it up, it was the blood from the nail. And then it hurt when I saw it. Then it hurt, right? Listen, being crucified doesn't mean you have a hole in you. It means that you are nailed to something. You say, oh, yes, I see where you're going. Jesus was nailed to the cross. Not so. I mean, yes, he was. But that's not the point. It wasn't that Jesus was nailed to a cross, which qualifies him being crucified for us. Oh, no. Jesus Christ was nailed to our sins. Our sins were represented at that cruel cross of Christ. And Jesus was nailed to that cross. Was it an implement of execution? Yes, but only in the physical realm. The greatest implement of execution is sin. The Bible tells us, in the day that the soul sins, it shall surely die. And the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word means to be nailed together. It means to be nailed with another. It means to be nailed to something or, listen, someone. That's a hideous thought, to be nailed to another person. I don't have the time to get into one of the Roman sentencing that they had, but it was actually sewing a dead person. Some areas of the Roman Empire, if you committed murder, they would take the body of the man you murdered and sew that person's skin to your back. Do you know what happens? I told you I wasn't going to get into it. Here I am getting into it. His rotting, decaying flesh began to go inside of you, and his death killed you. Think of it. The death of Jesus Christ at the cross, as we shall see today, killed you. So wait, what are you talking about? As a Christian, I told you this message is for Christians. The old life, the old Jack that he used to be before I met Jesus. Listen, Christ killed him at the cross. Amen. Jesus was sinless, pure, and perfect. Jesus was nailed to the cross. He was nailed to something else and to another. And that person was me, and he died for me. He died for me. It's a place of position. I've been crucified with Christ. This means crucifixion was never a solo event. In any case, how so? Number one, in the Roman sense, a man that was crucified for his crimes, right? Think of it. He was crucified for his crimes. Did you know over the top of the head of every Roman crucifixion was the man's offenses? Did you know that? Over the top. They nailed that. The guy was sentenced. A guy wrote, somebody else, maybe it was a bailiff, so to speak, right? Wrote down what he was accused of. And then you were led out to Golgotha. You were thrown down on that cross. And as they nailed you to the cross, one of the magistrates of the law would hammer a plaque to the top of the cross. And it said what you were guilty of. Do you know what, by the way, there was a sign over Jesus's head too, wasn't there? Do you know what he was guilty of? It says that he was king of the Jews. They didn't want a king. They didn't want King Jesus. They wanted a politician. That never goes well. Politician, Jesus. Politician, always go with Jesus. Always go with Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Getting Ready for the Big Day. So glad you could join us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scripture from the Bible and what that means for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. We all know that life is full of noise. The TV is on with news you often can't trust. Dishes are clanging in the kitchen and blaring sounds of rush hour traffic whiz by. It's enough to make your head spin, really. But it doesn't always have to be that way. We have special programming that can really soften the day's hectic pace. It's our Real Life Network. It's designed to give you relevant, life-changing programming for the whole family that you really can trust. Titles like Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire, Washington Watch by Tony Perkins, Happening Now with Pastor Jack, and Star-Spangled Adventures for the Little Patriots. You can relax and enjoy entertainment for the whole family. The Real Life Network, it's available on your favorite device anytime, anywhere. So don't miss a moment that really can enrich your life with shows that inspire instead of wear you down. Sign up today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? The Jack Hibbs Podcast brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. The Jack Hibbs Podcast and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation, who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.